It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a fear, finally here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Love Bus, Bangor, Maine, where we've been doing a lot of work on the studio, and we're going to be doing a lot of new stuff, so we're going to be testing today. We're back to live streaming when we got bandwidth. I mean, that's not always the case, so FYI. So we're going to be, cool stuff. We haven't really had to buy anything. We just had to reconfigure a bunch of stuff. And Justin Olson from Autonomy is up here. We met him at Forkfest, and had some skills. We said, hey, man, before you go back anywhere, you need to get up here and help me and Derek and do some stuff. And, fun stuff like, changing brake systems and brake lines and, welding and forging, melting down aluminum and being cool and stuff, and working on the studio. So the bus mechanically is pretty good. We had to, fix a horn. I mean, it's nice to have a horn. Yeah, I tell you where we needed the horn. I need a horn. Got to have a horn. Because when you're out on the Lone Prairie and the road and the highway, and there's always somebody coming by seeing the Love Bus, they recognize the love in it, and they're like, whoop, whoop, come on, man. What, you're not going to honk? You don't love me? What kind of snob are you? Hey, my horn doesn't work. So, we had to fix the horn so we could beep him back. So we got that taken care of, and that's cool. Maybe a little paint here and there on the new bumpers that we got with the, just little stuff. We'll do that on our way back, maybe here. We'll see what time we got. We've been very busy doing a lot of stuff. Now, what we're doing is we're having also Justin, yeah, I'll bring it down just a little bit. Justin is also, two is one, one is none. And what has happened is we've consolidated it into, primarily one computer that we can run a lot of this stuff, and it kind of streamlines it with multiple monitors. But we have other computers in it that we're going to be doing the same thing, so I got backup. That's what he's doing right now. So he's listening in while he's configuring a whole other set of computers to do the same thing. Because you're on the road and one goes, man, it always happens. So we got to have backup and backup and backup. We've been operating on like our third backup all this time, and that's why the audio hasn't been that great. And I really like this mic, and I wanted to make sure we could keep using it. So it's been, hopefully it sounds good. I like a good sounding mic. Man, it's so nice. So what we're going to do is testing today, and somebody that knows a little bit about, audio and visual and software development and so on, Martin J-Rock. And now I'm sorry?
Howdy.
Oh, you just want to say hi. I'll give you a chance to say hi. I get to talk for the first 40 minutes. Anyway, so this is what's going on. Martin J-Rock his real name is Martin. We'll just say that, Martin. But he's online. He's known as Mahtin. Last name, J-R-O-C-K. So Martin J-Rock. J-Rock. You say J-Rock, is that how you say it? So Martin J-Rock. Now, he's, this is what I've gleaned from him, over the time that he's been on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Telegram. Now, the only social media I do, this morning I was, people asking me stuff. Donald was doing some Facebook thing and posting whatever. Well, Ernie, I need to know if we could use the Levolution logo for this guy's doing this one thing. One, I'm not an IP guy and I don't care, okay? The other thing, get this in front of the camera. One thing, I'm not an IP, intellectual property guy, and I don't give a crap. But, if you're trying to communicate with me on Facebook, Farsbook, Fakebook, whatever, that ain't happening because I don't even look. So I just, FYI, you want to communicate with me, it's publisher at freedomsphoenix.com. And if you really want my number and so on, it's on freedomsphoenix.com. You can find it. And if you want to communicate with me, you're welcome. But, man, I ain't doing social media. That ain't happening. Now, we did do Telegram with no expectation of real privacy or anything. So just get that over you. I mean, it's a Russian app, you know, from a Play Store on Google and iTunes. And what the hell you think is going to happen? You know, I'm just, anytime I see somebody in my contact list comes up, so-and-so join Telegram. I see you. What do you mean? What do you mean what I mean? I mean, you know, if I'm in your contact list, they just mapped out your pirate network. Okay, so I'm not any expectation of privacy there. So we're working on that in a lot of different ways, and Martin showed some interest in that and things that we can do. Now, this is kind of his bio. I got here software development since 97. Oh, yeah, so he's about 40 years old. Public relations, 2 years. Business consultant, 4 years, 1 to 10 employees. Strategic marketing consultant to several Los Angeles internet marketing companies, 7 years. Voice over internet, smart call systems, real-time statistical analysis software development, sentiment analysis, whatever the hell that means, PPC, SEO strategies and software, primary software engineer for the last 7 years, call center management software, LiDAR for 3D for solar radiance modeling. In the last 8 years, I've made enough money to remain solvent, buy needed items, and get training. I've spent a majority of my time learning and training on most of the skills I thought would be needed: welding, auto mechanics, electrical engineering, developing PCBs, mostly power management boards for vehicles and motor controls, long-range Wi-Fi solutions, decentralized programming methods, aircrete and geopolymers for building structures. Oh, my new best friend. Vertical farming methods, primarily with LEDs, of interest. I've only just reached the point in the last few months of being ready to go out and start working with groups out of necessity and readiness, building up my RV, finishing up purchasing of most of the electronics, pumps, etc., programming various Arduinos to get sufficient motor, pump, LED controls working, various types of sensors, practicing with aircrete, epoxies and different meshes, fiberglass, basalt, etc., that would be needed to start building out of some small demonstration vertical farms with purified air and water. So now it's just a matter of finding the right place. Heavily focused around the book Strategic Relocation and finding some groups oriented around self-sufficiency. Topics. I'm willing to talk about nearly any topic, but here are some of the few things I have posted about here on Telegram. 5G, how to create long-range Wi-Fi networks to connect off-grid communities, indoor growing of food with purified air and water and its necessity, creating community, my RV, 2,500 watts of solar, it's a mobile 3D printing computer workshop that can run power tools and welding, 3D bioprinting, deep packet inspection on the internet domain, takedown capabilities of the state. Also, how to equip your mobile and remote area with the right type of cell boosting equipment with mobile apps to use. And all this tells me he is a freaking plant from the NSA. It's just, he just straight, Ernie, we hit all of your freaking hot buttons here. Who in the hell are we kidding? Okay. So, I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? All right. So this, you know, you can see my point, though. I'm like, holy crap. You know, it's aircrete and, you know, with fiberglass. So, I mean, I've talked about all this crap, you know, and what you're doing in mobile 3D printing computer workshop. You know, this is just too freaking good to be true. Assuage my concerns. Martin, your turn. Go.
Yeah, you know, this is stuff that's, I've been working on literally, as it says, for about 8 years. I've got videos like of my early days with aircrete and building out the pump systems and, you know, testing with the steel wool versus
okay,
the brass,
wait, Pat,
brass
time
fine
out.
Wool.
Early days.
Yeah.
You know, when I talked to a 23-year-old, their early days is like 6 months ago. And then you're how old?
40. Yeah, my early 40s.
Okay, early 40s. So when you say my early days, what the hell does that mean?
Well, early days, it's like an epic, right? You know, it's like 8 years ago, I'm like, what the hell is happening, right? Things just seem to be taking this massive change. And I'm like, I need to start getting prepared, because one of the basic observations that I had is that people in bigger cities just stop kind of caring about each other so much. And that was just kind of a fundamental. And I say, you know, time to prepare. things are going to go downhill. Take on and learn all the skills that I'll need in order to help a society, you know, do well. And my idea has always been that it's going to be a smaller type group.
Yep. Okay, here, just a second. Justin, it's not going forward. Where's the click here? Then this one? Play. All right. Yeah, we just got some graphics up, and I just wanted to rotate. We're still testing. All right. So you said 8 years ago or so, you're kind of, you know, going, this is not going well. So you're in your 30s. You're one of these young guys here. You're finding out that what you're doing is kind of, you're just, you know, building, another link in the blockchain to the man. And you're going, I choose not to do that. And I want to, you know, plan for the future or something. Why? Why would you care? Well, you weren't making, you know, you had a breakup, you know, you watched the right documentary. What happened?
You know, it was part of it was that, you know, I've got all these, you know, my family and other people around me telling me, you know, make money, you know, buy a house and do all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, that's not it. That's not a long-term solution. And it was just a lot of observation of like, you know, I've always liked to kind of drive around the city and see how things are doing, watching the patterns of just people, you know, when you cross people on the street. Like, people used to be more friendly on the street in LA. And then I noticed there were certain news articles that were coming out. Then I started watching the media networks, and I'm like seeing different news articles from different newspapers. But the strategy to me, I started to identify there's this underlying strategy that's going on here. And then there, when these first videos started emerging of all these different news channels, which I think was roughly 8 to 10 years ago, of all these news channels basically saying the same thing, and several guys on YouTube decided to start aggregating the video and showing that this stuff is all scripted. And I'm like, there's a plan here. And I'm like, if people don't really start coming together, they're going to start following basically what the mass media is saying and you know, follow along with this information that they're being given. And my evaluation was, do I participate in some outward facing, you know, company that, you know, will promote the truth? Or is the curve to such a degree that it's better to focus with a smaller group that's more focused on sustainability and has that communication? And, you know, people are meeting with each other, talking with each other, doing things with each other, supporting within the community itself. And so I decided to go the route of just make myself valuable and able to train other people.
Well, why? I mean, train other people in what way? I mean, you know, all of a sudden you got a million people following you on YouTube or what? What are you talking about?
No, I mean like directly in a group. I think that is essential in order to have support. For example, you know, infiltration, you know, police departments or whatever it might be, taking on these absurd policies that are anti-constitutional, you know, jailing people for reasons that violate the Constitution. It's like, if you don't have a strong community that you're surrounded by, you're not gonna be able to combat that. That's, you know, there's that, I forgot what the group is called, but the one that is from the old sheriff there in Arizona. Where they talk about, you know, get
the constitutional sheriff something thing. You mean,
an officer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, officer friendly from Jack McLamp. Or aid and abet newsletter, or a police and military against New World Order, or I went through a whole bunch of them. I mean, you know, God knows
awesome.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That type of thing. And it's like having that community that is working with the sheriff, right, understands the Constitution. Without that, it's just this kind of facade that people are buying into this kind of overall message that, you know, you essentially need to follow what the government says, follow what the news stations say. Versus people that are evaluating information more. And then at the same time, I did a bunch of research on, you know, what elements were being sprayed into the air. You know, there being a large amount of aluminum, boron, and a few others, I think, were the primary elements. And I'm like, man, this is going in the food. And at the same time, there was a coincident with that, with all the aerosol, you know, those stuff that was being sprayed out by the airplanes, coincident with that, Alzheimer's increased by like more than 10x. So and the primary thing that these doctors that were focused on Alzheimer's were finding that it was directly connected with aluminum that was going up through the nasal passage into the frontal lobes.
From what?
I'm sorry?
From what? I mean, you know, people are getting nasal, you know, injections. They're putting it in medicine. They're doing, I mean, how are they getting the aluminum?
It's sprayed out into the air by the airplanes.
Those bastards. You know? You know, this is one thing, you know, early on it started, when I first started doing radio in 03, it was like, you conspiracy nut? And I'm like, yeah, like what? Well, do you really believe that they would fill in the blank? I mean, you know, chemtrails, this, that, whatever. And I don't know, can they? I mean, if they can maintain, enhance, and expand their control and, you know, infiltration of individuals and get their resources and benefit, you know, they, them, those, and not me, you know, they wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. I mean, of course they would. If they can, they are. So, I'm, you know, is it something they put in the air control, something they put in the water, something they put in the food? And then we find out, you know, they got to fluoridate everything since forever. They're polluting the air. They got, you know, GMO foods, and you got to have Frank and me to kind of, you know, I'm like, I don't know, how much proof do you need? I'm tired of doing, this is what I wanted to talk about today. You know, it used to be that we put forth a lot of effort in how many minds can we free? You know, how many, and that really culminated in, you know, a good demonstration of that was the Ron Paul Levolution. With that, we spent, God, we got a good 8+ years out of that of just really hammering, you know, people got up on, Mises and Rothbard and, you know, Hayek and, you know, Austrian Economics and Ron Paul and, you know, Mises Institute and Lou Rockwell and Freedom's Phoenix, and you know, a lot of good from that came, a lot of good YouTubers, a lot of good information. Well, in 09, we could see they were targeting. You know, they were, oh, hell no, you're not allowed to have this opinion. And that's been going at warp speed since whatever. So now I'm like, no, we have to be to where we are decentralized in our information. They can't stop the signal, certainly for people that want to get it. You know, I mean, if you don't want to get it, I don't care. If you want to, you got to get your de-Googled super phone, but you still got to load up Facebook, well, you're too stupid to be in my community, you know? So my thing is that I'm no longer think we need to, you know, free minds. You want to have that opportunity for them to get the information, but I'm more about how many asses I can save. It has gotten to the point where I'm thinking like my children and grandchildren, they're pretty, you know, awakened to what's up, and they're making lifetime decisions. I just turned 60. My kids are in their early, you know, they have 4 under 4, 12 grandkids. They're all under between 30 and 36, and I'm just like, you know, we're going to be okay. But the thing is that I'm looking to who to associate with so we can survive this thing, be an example for others, help replicate by inspiration and example, and that's what we're working on. That's what, you know, the primary function of the Love Bus Liberty Tour was, man, you own yourself. I mean, you got to get that straight right off the bat. So when some, you know, guy in camo is chasing you down with a hypodermics and going to put notions and potions in your flesh by force from the crown, that never, ever, 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 ever turns out well. And I'm like, what the hell are you thinking is going to happen? So we need to have an inspiration, a mechanism by which we can be an example. You know, I we need to have a solution. So I'm going, you know, what do I got to do? What do we need to do? That there are people like this. There are communities that want to be an example and save themselves and their friends and family. But a lot of it, everywhere I go, Martin, it is talk of community everywhere. But I'm going, okay, yeah. What does that mean? You know, what do I got to do? What can I do? What's your conflict resolution? And a lot of them, they're just, you know, couch surfing, young, I don't know nothing, I'm willing, and can I just smoke some weed and I'll go garden a couple hours a day and, you know, and we'll survive and thrive and build big campfires every day. So I'm just going, yeah, it might not be like that, and what the hell would I want you in my hippie commune anyway? And why would I even want a hippie commune? And you want a hippie commune? What kind of hippie commune you got? Maybe I want to come, maybe I don't. Maybe I'll visit, maybe I won't. Maybe I, you know, so nobody's really thought it through. And but there are people that have. Like, I've had Joel Skousen on a lot. You know, I think you referenced some of his stuff. And a lot of the guys that, you know, some of the popular YouTubers and homesteaders are this tech. Well, that's why we did PiratesWithoutBorders.com, because there's all the tech that I would come across of, you know, energy production or food production or different methods. We had an aquaponics, we called it the Aquadome. We started building geodesic domes. I have a stamp press to do that. We have aquaponics that we did with a pond that we had with fish, and we did tilapia, but then they die in the winter, so we went to goldfish because I didn't like eating them anyway. And so we had aquaponics that we did, so we got that knowledge behind us. We had chickens, turkeys, goats. I went through it. I'm going, yeah. You can sustain yourself on less than a couple of acres and be, you know, feeding large on a family of six. I mean, you know, it's possible. And certainly supplement, you know, what you're doing. At least get some good nutrition or something. How to build the soil. How to, you know, robotize everything. I'm lazy. I don't have to go out there and feed the chickens. Don't they got an Arduino and a step motor for that? You know, let's just do it. Fill the bin, man. I mean, you know, why are we working? So, you know, robots have been very good to me. I don't need an Atlas Boston Dynamic come explain it to me with a saw, but you know, I need to make use of the technology that we have for even water. I can't believe how much water comes off this bus just running the air conditioner. I, you know, these are, it is phenomenal what we can apply and how cheap solar is. Water is not a problem. You can do rain harvesting and certainly wells, you know, a lot of places, or you just have, you know, rivers. I mean, hell, you know, filters. Water's not as big a problem as a lot of people make. You got to deal with it, but, you know, that's not as big a deal. You can get it from the atmosphere. Then you have energy. Well, crap, man. Solar and lithium iron phosphates have gotten so freaking butt-ass cheap that's taken care of. It's communications. It's the internet. It's Starlink. I need to know how far up Uncle Sam's butt, you know, Elon is, but we'll find out. But that technology is there. It's going to come. It'll be pirate satellites. They're going to have to use ion cannons by the NSA to shoot them all down because they're not allowed. You got ones and zeros that they don't approve of or whatever. This battle is coming. Then you got, airships. Man, the precariat. You go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com, top left, visual tour, you know, virtual tour of the precariat. You watch that, you go, ooh, these boys are serious. So this has been the thing. You own yourself. You can't mandate a vaccine enemy, but I need to have the proper role of government as defense of individual rights, which include what is mine. Can I own my land? And if it's my land, what can or can I not do with it, with whom and how? I need to know this, and I know what the answer is. You ain't own nothing, and you're going to like it. Whether you like it or not, you're going to like it, and the shot here is going to make sure you like it. So I just go and... There has to be pushback. There has to be a philosophical understanding. There has to be a general public opinion that we've had these discussions before. It was called the Declaration of Independence. It's, you know, John Locke, whatever, you know, he came up with. You know, laissez-faire, you know, out of, you know, the Law of Bastiat. I mean, all this stuff has been discussed before. We're just rediscovering it. So now it's how many asses can we save? We're starting to see there's something in Kansas, there's something in Oklahoma, there's something in Tennessee, Kentucky, certainly in the New Hampshire project, up here in Maine, you know, the free state thing in New Hampshire. We have stuff in Texas popping up all over the place. Arizona we're going to be, you know, tapping into and, you know, being one of the sources. Washington State, Idaho. This is happening now. And I'm going, all right, where are the people? And how do you get to them? How do you find their skills? How do you bring them in? And then you can evaluate them. Oh, there you go to PiratesWithoutBorders.com. You find Scuttlebutt. You know, one of the letters of reprisal, the fourth one, Scuttlebutt, that we have some kind of software or app that we can just keep track of these people. Yeah, I like them. I don't like them. No, you don't like them. Well, what if I don't like you? Your opinion don't mean nothing to me, so it doesn't matter. You know, this, back and forth. We need to find the people. So now when I, you know, start finding, we go to these festivals, so when you find these people, all right, who knows you? How well have you done before? You know, how good are you at what you claim that you can do it? And biggest thing is character. I mean, do you show up on time? Are you dependable? Do you lie? Are you honest? Do you do what you say you're going to do? Are you reliable? Do you brush your teeth? I mean, you know, whatever. And You know, there's going to be, you know, families come out of this. So I'm going, all right, it's people, but you need to have a structure that supports individualism. But you still get to have your property, or you might want to just train or apprentice on someplace. So this is what I'm looking for, and this is really an interview of Motten. You know, for there are places and projects around the country that he has skills to help with, and I think he wants to, you know, either participate, build a reputation, you know, FBI infiltrate, whatever the hell. I don't care. Whenever we have the man come in, I got weights need to be put in the attic. I need you to stand here and hold the sign for 3 hours. I mean, you get work out of them anyway. But the point is that I need to start having experiences with people so that we can see who is going to help build the future. Because they could even be a nomad army of going from one place to another, to another, to another. I need my, you know, chicken coop done now. Boom, they're 2 weeks and it's done. I need a greenhouse developed and done in my vertical, whatever the hell, boom, it's done. I can just mass produce. I can do a whole freaking neighborhood in a weekend from EMT conduit, half inch, three-quarter inch, and build whatever, how big, and have in a day. Now how do we cover it? What kind of polymers do you put on it? What kind of aircrete? What kind? We put them all around, people experimenting. We're ready to do it now. Where do we get the people? Then we find guys like Justin, you know, that come from autonomy. Richard Grove's got the course autonomy that he has hundreds of people go through this. And then, you know, Lisa Manfredi, you know, also has her own thing. She's doing wealth battle. She's trying to teach these people. She's a successful career woman that, you know, just wanted to find the truth, kind of a lot of what you're doing. But what happens? You know, she needs people to understand finances and them not be so dependent all the time. So, you know, a lot of people do different things, and she's the point person on finding people that's gone through their process that we can, you know, suggest and spend time with up at Jay Noon's, you know, near Manchester. We have Derek Slopey's up here near Bangor. Then if they do well there, we got some other places, you know, that, you know, maybe have some more resources and a bigger operation that we might put up there. Then we see how they do there, and they go to the next one. This has to happen because there isn't enough. I need to crew my precariat pirate ship of freaking, you know, who are going to do it? Who's going to do it? So this is an interview. I say all this stuff. You know, I take time because I can. You know, it's my show. And, you know, for Motten J-Rock to introduce himself and the skills that he's developed over the years and what his mindset is. Because I don't care how great a surgeon you are. You know, I might want you to save my life, little girl, but I'm like not inviting you to the Christmas party. I mean, you know, that's it. So what kind of philosophy do you have? How did that happen? Where did it come from? That's what this conversation is about, and it's what a lot of these conversations are going to be about as we get into what's coming. Tonight we do a show with James Corbett. We usually do every week, and we've been off busy, both of us, for and vacation and so on for a couple weeks. But when we come back, it's this. This is the subject. This is it. We know what's coming. How are we going to prepare for it? Well, Mon's got some ideas. All right. Now it's your turn, Motten. I want to make
very cool.
I want to make sure you respond to all of that, and you know, and how much money you're making off of the man paying you to infiltrate. So go ahead and you know talk about all that and what you're doing and what you bring to it and why. So the only thing I'm going to interrupt you with probably is a bunch of whys. All right, respond. Okay. Go.
All right. So you know, so this whole thing on decentralization, I think a core component behind that, it's also like a knowledge and apprenticeship vertical. So just as part of character evaluation, I've got lots of people that I've trained over the last 20, 30 years. It's always been sort of part and parcel with just how I am. I love training people. I want to have the knowledge, be able to do it myself, and then translate that over to others. So like with decentralization, it has this kind of, you know, the connotation of separateness, but I think it's important to also understand that with the internet, the knowledge can be shared across the boards, and the decentralizing has to occur with like the common platform of the technology, right? So you've got your IPFS, you've got your, you know, various decentralized systems, but that knowledge is being shared across. And to me, it's always been like, why did I don't have to live in an RV, but I live in an RV because my whole point is to go around and to demonstrate to people, how do you do this stuff? I can land somewhere. Let's say a community, like one of the biggest things that I've thought of that I think is a point where, you know, where authority steps in and they want to kind of curb people's mindsets with fear, and food is a primary means by which that is done. So my concept's been, yeah. So I was like, well, man, I bought a ton of seeds. I've got some spare solar panels. I can go land in a community. You know, hey, you get some Portland cement. I've got all the soap. I've got all the equipment. We're going to build up a vertical farm here. And the whole idea is everything totally organic. And it's the amount of nutrients per square foot that we can produce in this one small space. So, and it's the speed of building it. How much nutrients can we get out of here that are just like great for your body, and try and cover as much of the, you know, the nutrient spectrum as we can to have an overall diet, and do this and just take a group of people. Hey, you know, some people are going hungry here. You know, I'm driving through an area. They say, we're going hungry here. Okay, let's get this thing done. And that was my idea with RV, at least this last ditch thing. If I'm going around and doing this and let's say it gets more towards the apocalyptic edge. If people know you as the guy that's setting up the food sources, you know, this is sort of like that far end, you know, view of the thing, you know, that brings you protection. That brings you, you know, your people know that you're there doing something good. So the idea behind all this is really is the decentralization, but also very, very strong on this vertical of knowledge and apprenticeships, because people need training. So that's the whole thing. Like what's going to break down, you know, potentially in the coming years, because here I am watching all this stuff being made by China, right? And I'm like, man, they can yank the carpet out from underneath us. And I've already been 3D printing. So then I study lots of PLA methods, you know, where you do your 3D printing and then you melt down some metal and you pour the metal in, you create your molds. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you could create some, if, you know, getting really good at this. I'm not at the point where I'm that good at it. I've done some, but, you know, you can make car parts from stuff like this. So that was the whole mechanical stuff.
We have been
in
a furnace, been melting down a bunch of just build up in the freaking way aluminum up here at Derek's. So we're putting them in, cupcake molds, and we just have all these pucks all over. We probably got, I don't know, dozens of them. And making the pile smaller. It's like instead of sitting around watching a fire, we're sitting around feeding the furnace. So that's awesome. Kind of cool. And then we go, all right, well, there's ways of making metal parts, and we've been, you know, we're YouTube, a lot of this stuff we put up on Freem's Phoenix too for this very reason. And so the audience knows you can take a PLA of any gear, anything that you want. You can, you know, make a mold of it, of, you know, whatever, or you can just design it in 3D a CAD system, you know, get an STL file to 3D print it. And hell, a lot of times you can put it on a little turntable that a laser analyzes it, you know, and creates it, and you 3D print it. Now you put it up and you have a little funnel that goes up a little bit that you're going to pour the metal into. You put it in plaster. You let it dry. You turn it upside down. You put it in the furnace, and I don't know what happens to the plastic. It seems like it just evaporates. You know, it certainly melts out, and it just, in a high-heated furnace, it dries out the plaster, and the PLA goes away, and it leaves all the itty-bitty detail in the plaster. Then you get molten aluminum, you pour it in, or molten bronze, or molten whatever. You put it in there, boom, done. You got a metal part. I mean, this is what we're working up to for exactly the reasons you're talking about. When you have the ability, you know, have learned 3D printing. All right, we got that done. You know, we got, lathe, and, you know, you go to Harbor Freight and you can freaking get anything for a fraction of the price or whatever. So the Chinese been very good to us for that. But why isn't this stuff made in America? You know, where's the education? They're coming over here to get, you know, high-end education, and then they take over the professorships. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know, this is an intentional thing. There's somebody doing. I had Will Prowse is a popular YouTuber that does a lot of batteries and solar and off-grid, you know, inverter, charge controller kind of news. He just got 500,000 subscribers. And a few days ago, we put it up on Freedom's Phoenix where he was going on about everybody's complaining about, oh, you know, all this stuff's coming from China. I can't believe you're promoting China of China. And he goes, yeah? Well, get off your ass and start making it here. Get the politicians to quit incentivizing. This is a much deeper problem. We need, and blah, blah, blah. This is going to come down to food, and it's going to come down to where you grow the food. It's going to come down to land. You will own nothing and love it. So I'm going, we don't have that much time. This is, it's already way down. It's coming. There's going to be upheaval. There's going to be, yeah, upheaval. I mean, I can tell you definitely that. So I'm, all these skills that you're talking about is, you know, a maker community. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, what kind of community do I want? Because my main goal is to have at least 10 acres. You know, I get 2 acres. We live on a 2-acre thing. I like 2 acres. 2 acres is easy to manage. You have more than enough room, grow whatever the hell you wanted, and you got water and lawns and soccer games and kids and, you know, and I get a workshop, and I'm good. 2 acres. I'm 2 acres suit me fine. Now, I have more, more is better, whatever. But if I get 10 acres, that means I get 2 acres and my 4 kids get 2 acres and I did my bit, I'm done. So then what? You know, who's going to do that? How are we going to do it? What are we going to do? And if there's a community with this kind of stuff, now my kids are, you know, there's aerospace engineering and they're, you know, smart kids and got it going on and motivated and they brought up that way. They're fine. They're definitely an add to any community. And you got grandkids, they're just as good. And they pulled them out of, 6 of them pulled out of school this last year, said, now we're done. They're homeschooling. We'll see what happens they do this year. But, you know, they said, nope. So this is, my family, I'm not so worried about. I could just focus on that. But there are so many resources out there with a lot of people that have the desire but not the knowledge. They want to do apprenticeships, but where? You know, you're punished for doing it. Do you pay taxes on that compensation that they got that was some free rent of, you know, tax man gets the money? Anywhere they can shut it down, they'll shut it down. So I'm going, okay, can you even own land? Can you build on it? How are you? Which state? I mean, we're going through. That's why we're traveling around the country. So with these skills, I'm looking to have a – we even have some guys, you know, Chuck Williams is a CXO from Float, and he was up at Porcupine Freedom Festival, and he was talking about some software that they're doing for community and all this kind of stuff. I'm going, all right, well, you know, at least we're thinking about it. But what I'm looking for is where we go and – who owns it? Well, it's going to be somebody who's on freaking on the deed. It's mine. Mine. Why would you come there? Well, to learn. You know, I got housing for you. You know, I got, you know, infrastructure. You can, you know, focus on what's of interest to you, share with other people. And then, you know, it's done. Okay, well, get the F out. You know, go somewhere else and do it. I don't need you here. I'm alpha male, man. I don't need more alphas around me. It's mine. Or I really like you. I like your family. You married a girl, right? Yeah, you can be part of the family. But this has to be controlled in some way by the property, and it not be a government, or it not be, it always comes down to the guy. When we're at, you know, Crosby that owns the Rogers Campground where Porkfest is, they don't realize how much he insulates them from the man. None shall pass the gate. There used to be, I've been going there 13 years, and you have, you know, guys, the police will just want to come in. I'm the police. I'm going to go, whoa, get the hell out. Made people surround them with cameras. Get out. And they're the revenuers, and they want to see permits for food or what. Get the hell out of here. This is a private thing. Get Crosby's all in it, man. You come see me. You got to do something. You come see me. Somebody's got to be that person that has ownership or operation criteria to keep everybody away. To protect the property rights of the place. How do you do that? What are the different laws? Which states recognize this kind of freedom? So this is, I'm seeing we're deep into exactly what Martin is talking about. How do we get the people to go there to get the apprenticeships, to share their information, to build Generation Next, and earn themselves either enough resources or earn themselves a place to where they can call theirs that they can build on. You know, this is like, you know, farmers used to be. You raised kids and they got, you know, their back 40 on the back whatever the hell on the other side of the canyon ravine of whatever. You know, this is what's coming. It has to, because the only other way is you're going to get everything a body needs gruel plugged in the back of your, you know, head, you know, from the matrix of work for them in the shipping container apartment that's next to the light rail system. That's what's going on. So, yeah. You know, respond to all that, Martin, and what your plan is and how you're going to do it.
Well, like I was saying earlier, my plan has been to travel around and just meet people in different communities. You know, I've been saving up money and prepping for it, buying a bunch of extra supplies to take with me for demonstration purposes and to build stuff out. But as far as technology goes, and just the part of the reason why I like the, you know, your group and your websites is this foundation of using IPFS and decentralization. I think there needs to be a multitude of recruitment methods and a real simple way to qualify people. As far as Scuttlebutt goes, you know, it's like, what is it? It's a peer-to-peer social media platforms. Like, you know, you've talked about in the intent and in the letters of Mark, right?
Did you get a chance to read them?
Sorry?
Did you get a chance to read the letters?
I read all of them, yeah.
How would you think?
Dude, every single line of what I've been saying. I mean, I looked back. I was like, one of the articles that I posted just yesterday, I thought maybe you were thinking that I read it and then I posted it. But I actually posted it and then I read it. It's like almost the same thing that I just said.
Which one?
So, particularly the one on using encryption.
Yeah, hailing frequencies invisible to the crown. You know, this is these letters. Davi and I agonized over every freaking word. We would spend 2 weeks on one. You know, just to be consistent through the one. You know, it was enjoyable. I mean, we were watching all the pirate movies, man. I mean, we get it all down. And what I got a lot of pushback on the pirate thing. Until you start to do the history. I did a presentation on the history of pirates and how really they were just a bunch of leave-me-alonist anarchists of the man screwing with them, and they didn't like it. They had to do letters of mark to go take care because they're resisting our authority. You know, so it's this mindset of a lot of that stuff is – but the scuttlebutt, what that – scuttlebutt is like gossip, okay? Well, you can control your actions – but your reputation really is kind of out of your control. That's what other people think of you. So you want to be in a community and spread and on the air every day or something. You're participating a lot and certainly hopefully meet space that, you know, people know you and they can vouch for you. And then the people that know those people, well, so-and-so vouch for them. I don't give a crap what this shiny badge over here says about them. Hell, just the fact that they hate them means I like them. I mean, you know, it's our own criteria. And that's what I think it's happening anyway. And if we could code it, that would be cool as an app because this is the problem. Whenever you have a successful group or something, because we are good-natured, because we are trusting, because we are generous, because we always say yes, because we are inclusive, because we are forgiving, because we are trusting, sociopaths, psychopaths see that as a weakness. It's a vector. It's an opportunity.
Right.
And when they come in, they take advantage of it. Every MF in time. Every time.
Yeah.
Always happens. Yeah. What happened to your hippie commune over here? Yeah. Oh, well, there was that guy. Or that gal. Well, there's always that guy or gal. You have to
exactly.
be able to
I've
weed those out.
A lot of that on, yeah. Yeah.
So how you...
I think that there's a couple things on it. It's like generally like psychopaths can't really follow a straight line too well. So when it comes down to, let's say, for example, when some of this stuff, you know, there's people with courses like Aircrete Harry and so forth, and they've got courses and training that you can get through. But as far as decentralizing that further and like creating... If there's a system where people can actually work through the steps and then post their progress and show for it, and then maybe be cross-validated by someone else on the same system, you know, because there's the edge cases with regards to people. Guy might be a real asshole, but he does like to contribute, and he's great with Aircrete or something, right? And if there's a system that allows for that type of stuff to be logged out, say, yeah, he's validated on the skill. You know, he's built 20 different structures and 10 different communities, but he's not the easiest person to get along with, you know? And if there's some sort of skill tracking system that can be cross-validated between, like, let's say, you know, he's building on it, property A or property B, and the person who's the receipt or you know, who's the owner of that property validates that skill, they take pictures and post it up along with that, you know, great.
Yeah. You know, I need him. Fine. Yeah. I need him for you can probably stand him for 9.2 days. And he'll get this done and then get him the hell out or you're freaking going to pull your hair out. Okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah.
You know? That's it. You know, I mean, I try and be an ad wherever I go. I'm always like cleaning something, staying busy. Where's the edge trimmer? I don't give a crap. You need your bathroom clean. I mean, I come up here to Derek's because I need him to do a bunch of stuff all the time. Hell, we get a crap load of stuff moved, done, straight, and fixed and cleaned off of that table. Oh, my God, it's 3 feet high of, oh, my God. You know, let's put that in. And then it's like, okay, you know, Ernie, like, you know, not bad to have around for a while. But then it hits, you know, it's a week or two, and it's like, you know, he's making me work. I need a day off, man. Get him out of here, you know. So this is, I understand, and we need to have that kind of understanding. See, the reason I have success in a lot of stuff that I do, I have voluntary, temporary alliances. And you get stuff done, you're done, and then you're done, you move on. Now, there are some people that I have long-term alliances with. The difference with those is that, you know, a lot of times we don't talk a lot. I don't bug them because a lot of times I don't want the man surveilling us planning the salvation of the universe anyway. You know, screw them. But we're on the same page. We already know we're doing it. And sometimes we touch base a few times a year of whatever and, you know, love on each other and kind of, man, I missed you and it's all good. And then we go again. But the thing is that what if I was there full time? How much would I grade on them? You know, how much, because the biggest thing is, because I'm always boom, 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 get done, go get done. And the biggest, you know, certainly with the women, you know, they are, man, you are not nice enough to Donna. That is the big thing. You need, man, Donna does so much. You need, she's really the one that does all the work. Holy crap, Ernie, I had no idea how much. I go, yeah, I win, you know. But, you know, and, you know, we've been married 36, whatever, something years. But it's not goes unnoticed, certainly by the women. After a couple of weeks, man, they're like, get that asshole Ernie out of here, man. You know, he's setting a bad standard. You're going to start making, you know, my husband's going to start making me do work. I'm being compared to the work level of Donna. That sucks. You know, so
it's a successful method. Project-based stuff would be sending people out to a space temporarily to execute that specific task. It's a successful system.
I think it's the best way to get started. And what happens is people get their own and it replicates, and then they want to be in charge of their own thing, and they'll have the same system they bring people in and the resources for them to do it. But the big thing is that you don't lose friends. You know, you don't have a problem. You go in, you have a successful experience, and you get a good reputation ranking, and you go, yeah, this guy was pretty all right. You know, and then, yeah, but then somebody goes, yeah, but you didn't have them 9.3 days, did you? You know, so we're kind of in agreement on a lot of this stuff. What are you looking to do? I mean, you know, I got plenty of places that could use someone like you to do something and start building your reputation in the Liberty community. What do you bring? Who are you? Oh, I give a crap about Martin.
Yeah, I want to do this whole thing. We're working on these vertical LED farms, man. I want to go to some place where they need more food or, you know, are looking to, I'm very big on the structural strength. And that's part of the reason why I put the geopolymers in my resume. I have done some. I haven't done the ultra high strength geopolymers yet. I've done stuff I think that gets upwards to like, and I've only done samples, like small, you know, samples in trays, you know, and I'm testing them and I'm hitting them with a torch and I'm hitting with a hammer and stuff like that. But I think I've gotten up to like stuff that's maybe 7,000 to 10,000 PSI. But I think the structures you can use, there are geopolymer mixes that go beyond 50,000 PSI. And that's the target zone that I want to get to with these.
Okay, geopolymers. What are you talking about? Geopolymers. What, a polymer so being a plastic, a hydrocarbon or something, and then geo is hydrocarbon dirt? I mean, what does that mean?
So in this case, I think the polymerization is that process where it's the combination of the materials internally, I believe is the reference with regards to geopolymers. So you're taking stuff like, whether it be diatomaceous earth, what's that stuff that's like a runoff from a lot of metal industrial places? It's called, I forget the name offhand, but it's that stuff when you're producing steel and so forth, you get all fly ash. There we go. Yeah, fly ash.
And potash?
And you can get it cheap.
Or fly ash, potash, ash, whatever. Okay.
Exactly. And you combine this with certain materials and you can build structures. 50,000 PSI is like up there in that, you know, bomb-proof rating. And the idea is that you know, the greater the stability within the community, if you're growing out of this type of, you're using these building structures that are nearly impenetrable, you've got your food, you've got your energy sorted out, because, you know, solar's awesome, but solar panels can also be destroyed. So, like, even if there's always the potential to, you know, do geothermal, you know, you got thermal coming up from the ground, using energy sources from that, alternative energy sources, so that your food supplies, it's like, if you put yourself in a position where it's really hard to diminish that, it also creates a great confidence in that community. And that's the point that I really want to get to. So that's my long-term intent. But as far as going out, you know, I'm taking my workshops with me. You know, I've got the 3D printing going on.
Okay, describe this.
Welding equipment.
All right. Give me a description of your platform. You're driving a, you know, 70-foot tractor trailer rig with, you know, big giant robot arms in it, or a minivan with a 3D printer?
Yeah, laser beams.
Yeah, what? On its freaking forehead? Okay, so tell me what you got.
I got a 27-foot 1977 Dodge Travco. And the whole top is covered with six really large solar panels at 430 watts each. So I'm pumping about, you know, I mean, it's rated at 2,500 watts. On a good day, I've broken 2,100 when I freshly cleaned the plant panels. I've got Nissan Leaf batteries in here for my 48-volt setup. Right now I have two. I've got a UV printer.
What's the chemistry on the Leaf batteries?
Lithium ion.
Okay. Keep going.
There?
Yeah, keep going through your checklist, man.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, then, yeah, welding equipment, you know, I've got refrigerator and all the basic stuff. Let's see, what else? Yeah, just the whole thing's basically been rebuilt. So I've got like a warranty, almost a complete drivetrain warranty on the thing. And, yeah, it's 27 feet.
Okay, so you got how many 3D printers? You got metal printers? You got resin? Or the, you know, extrusion?
Yeah, I've got a UV resin printer. And then I've got a couple of Ender. I have one Ender 3 in here now. I'm about to bring in the other one. So I've just two Ender 3s and a Legu Mars UV printer.
Okay.
I've got the materials in here, you know, all the basic stuff, the, you know, saws, miter saw.
So you can do woodwork. What about mechanical, like automotive repair?
I've got a bunch of tools. So, you know, stuff for fixing engines. I've got the 4-ton jack. really run down list here. All kinds of tools. I've got all the stuff, you know, the far-reaching tools to work inside motors.
Okay, so I'll ask you some questions. Because underneath my bus, it was everything I needed. Anything on this bus took an inch and a half bolt at minimum. I mean, so I got a whole new set. I had to get a whole new set, thousands of dollars of freaking just tools to be able to do this damn thing. You know, to change a tire takes a big pneumatic. Are you freaking kidding me? Okay. So I'm going, all right, I got it. I put it underneath, and oh, my God, I wish I had more room. Okay. So, and plus the studio and everything. So the things like electronics. What about soldering station, electronic Arduino, step motor, and doing robotic, whatever the hell? What do you got going there?
I've got some servo motors in here. I'm actually about to go. I've got some stuff in storage. I'm about to, probably going to go grab it today, but I don't know. I have maybe 10 various types of DC motors. I've got 20 different types of DC fans. I have a soldering station. I've got tons of lead solder. I have some PCB boards that I've made in here.
Okay, so what skills do you have? You're like, I could build a robot and take it onto the cable channel and kick ass, you know? Like a machine, can you machine lathe?
I haven't done lathe work, but as far as making metallic components, I'm not there yet. I've only done the basic stuff. So I do welding. So I do TIG, I do MIG, I do stick.
Okay, now
but
have
as
you
far as,
the ability to do a CAD build? I mean, you whip that out, you're good on CAD. What?
I'm very quite advanced with CAD.
Boom!
I've been working with it for 8 years, maybe.
Okay,
so
you're a CAD guy.
Design, yeah.
Oh, you're my new best friend. All right.
Sure.
So we got, you know, CAD, and then that goes into, you know, laser cutters. You done any lasering? Which is CAD.
I have done CAD designs and had stuff lasered. Like, for example, I bought stainless steel containers for my water system. And I didn't have the lids, so I designed the lids in CAD and handed the files over to the guy. I also do parts for the other ways I've been involved with lasering is I make parts that are no longer produced for – there's a place called Mustangs, et cetera, in Van Nuys. But I make small car parts for them.
Really? Okay. Cool. All right. Now, how do you market your skills? Straight up, you have any children?
No.
You ever been married?
I have been.
You have?
Have in the past, yes.
Okay, how long you been divorced?
Let's see, long time. 15 years.
Okay, so you went through that. Right. It didn't work out. You don't like it. You're good. You're on. You're kind of cool. I mean, you're looking to get married.
I think marriage is phenomenal. Marriage is a principle. You know, I think it's fantastic. I'm not disabused of it. I'm not like the kind of guy that goes.
So you're looking for the next Mrs. J-Rock?
Yeah.
Okay, now what would that entail? What are you looking for?
High energy. And I, you know what? There's this point of evaluation that I use with people.
They got to do well
and
camping.
I think that anyone that's what's that? What's
they
got
to they got to do well camping.
Got to do well camping, and this whole thing of apprenticing. People who love to apprentice others, I think, is such a high human level phenomenon. When you meet someone that's like that loves to teach and loves to be effective and teach others to be effective, that's what I'm looking for.
Okay, now what's the holdup? Is it the world is devoid of these people? You don't have the right software.
This training period has literally been intense, and it's only just recently that I'm like, all right, time to get out now. Let's go. So I've not been meeting people. I don't even go out anymore. I've been busy working on this stuff. So the moment I think that probably the surest course of me meeting someone is going to be. In doing these actions, I'll find someone that is like that.
Probably. Now, this is one thing. It said in here, you go, in the last 8 years, I've made enough money to remain solvent. You know, by needing items and getting training, I have spent a majority of my time learning and training on most of my skills I thought would be needed in blah, blah, blah. So you made your money what? You know, slave job? You bought the right crypto at the right time? None of my damn business? What?
I do software contracts.
Okay, so you're a programmer.
Yeah, it's the main thing I've been making.
Oh, shit, Negro, that's all you had to say. I got a bunch of IPFS stuff and coding and Derek needs and where you been? Right, you should lead with that.
Okay. Well, and I do solar. I do small solar installations. And like I said, I produce these car parts. I have a delivery due this week where I'm taking car parts to the car place. So, but yeah, software's definitely been my main.
So, where are you? Do you have a home? Did you sell? Have you been on the road? You're just building out your thing. Where's your YouTube channel of I pimped out my ride? I mean, you know, how you been living, sustaining yourself? Where you been?
I'm living in the RV now. I didn't own prior to this. I've just been a renter. So now I'm out and I'm living in the RV.
For how long you been doing that?
About 6 months.
What do you think?
Off and on.
What do you think of that?
It's a little tough building it out while I'm living in it, but I like it. I want it to be tough. I create scenarios where it's more tough than it should be. Like right now, I'm even in a place that has no additional power. This is the first time I've done more than a week without any external hookups.
You know, one of the guys here, Colin, he has another bus that he's doing. He's got like 8 kilowatts of power on top. I go, holy crap, what the hell are you going to do? Oh, I got to heat the water, you know, for my jacuzzi hot tub when, you know, the propane runs out. I mean, you know. I mean, seriously, you think I'm kidding? You know, it's just, these buses you can get for... You know, some ridiculous, not, you know, fitted out like this one was, but you get an old passenger bus. They retire them, and you can get them for $6,000-$8,000. And if you're willing to work, and he has been plain, you know, had oak logs that he milled down and been tongue and grooving them, joined and planing and everything, created a floor of sanding. And, oh my God. I mean, you know, this is, you know, it's diamond plate LED super disco light, and up at, you know, Porcupine Freedom Festival, he had a pole with strippers. I mean, seriously, you know, and the side thing. I mean, this, and he did it last year too. I mean, he's going to Jackalope and Arizona and bring the show. So it's just, it's amazing, you know, what is possible with these. Now, we've built it around, you know, having a comfortable life, you know, for Donna and I. Like the way the bathrooms are, they're full bathrooms that go full length, so that the, you know, the walkway with two sliding doors make it, you know, I can like stand up and, you know, have a bathroom, you know, and you know, nice bed, queen size, got the AV in there, security systems with cameras around, and you lock the door. Man, this thing's a vault anyway, you know, and you're already, you know, up pretty high, and it was all about the studio. And what we did is we had it, you know, we put in all the bells and whistles, and we found, you know, that the way we were doing it, certainly if we weren't doing a live show, we could trim it down quite a bit. And we've now we've had enough computers that we could have two complete systems. So if one goes down, we got a backup, and then another one that can go mobile. So that's what's been taking a week. We built up a lot of shows during Porkfest, Forkfest, so that I could have this week off to do this. Now, this show probably won't. When would this show air, Donna? Nineteenth, which is, so we're built up to like next week sometime. Next what? Next Monday. What is today? It's Tuesday. So yeah, so we, you know, are doing this to where now I can do shows when I want and need, and kind of in the testing and get it done, and then all of a sudden, you know, I can do it. My flexibility changes a great deal, and it gives us opportunity to actually, you know, do work. You know, I mean, it's been, I vote that. So I, this has been working out. So one thing that I want to do is I want to make sure that we don't, you know, waste time. My biggest thing has been, you know, I hate wasting time. I need to be able to be productive with my time. And now I need to start, and this is the one thing that you'll find in RV life is that, you know, you're very busy a lot of times. I don't know, you might be, you might not be, but you're driving all the time or you're in it. You have to make time to exercise. So that's one thing we started doing. I need to, you know, a year on a bus, you die from a heart attack or something, you know. So we're, you know, setting that aside, and you get, you know, the running shoes and a couple of weights and whatever, and you start, you know, working on your health. So I'm seeing that this lifestyle, I can see the benefit of it. I like it. I really like Donna. Now, of course, it's nice to have a home and so on, but I can see, you know, we're going on a trip. We got everything self-contained. Boom, let's go. You know, just, you know, pull up landing gear and fly, man. Just do it. So this is, this kind of life is very freeing, but you have to have power, and you have to have good battery storage. You have to. The power thing, communication is great, too, and the water and all that. Power. It's all about the electricity. You're not having any fun if your refrigerator ain't working. You're not having any fun if you can't charge and you got to watch TV or sit around, and air conditioning and heating. And all, it's a power thing. But solar has changed everything when it comes down to the power. And I got four battle borns in there, 400 amp hours, and I can double, triple that easy for a fraction of the cost, and just order the components and build them together on a fold out 16 foot long, 4 foot wide tables I have built on the side of the bus inside. I'm like, bring it on, man. Boom. So this is, you know, if you have, we'll meet sometime, you get to see the pictures, or you look at the pictures on Love Bus of the bus, how we got configured. It is very cool. I'm pretty comfortable. On Donna, on a 1 to 10, how comfortable are you on this thing? Eight. I got a Donna 8. That's pretty damn good. I think that's about as good as that's about as good as when we lived in, you know, in a house. So I'm like, so it is a wave of the future, and it takes a lot of the skills that you have and, you know, what we've learned and so on, and we make this a standard thing, sharing, and then here comes Starlink, which I got to find out, you know, how status Musk is with whatever the hell they're going to do with us. But the changes in the future is coming, and it takes people like you and an apprenticeship mindset and a community. But a lot of people, yeah, I want these people in my community to do what I want for as long as I want. And then I don't need them. Get the hell out. And I got, and it's okay. Well, how much money are you going to pay them? You know, what are they going to get out of? Are they going to get training? Do they get something at the end of it? Do they get land? Do they get, you know, like here, Justin's working on one of the projects that Derek had. He first did an ambulance that was retired, got it for like nothing. It's an aluminum box and an old, you know, main rusted whatever the hell. And he created a studio in there, and it was a activist hub, so that a lot of the police, when you would record different events, they would take everybody's phone and they would, you know, delete media and all that kind of stuff. So his idea,
Where were police taking people's phones? If you don't mind me asking.
Got everywhere. You know, Boston, New York. You know, I mean, it was a thing. It was when copblock.org was, you know, doing this stuff. Oh, police would never do
anything. Okay, gotcha.
This was 7 to 9, 10, around in there. And so back then you had to convince people that police, you know, could even be bad. We're like, no, man, this is, you know, photography is not a crime with Carlos out of Miami that used to be a photographer at the Arizona Republic in Arizona. You know, and we went to Miami and, you know, they're going, oh, you can't take my picture and you can't. And that's all that stuff was going on. So what happened is he built this ambulance that you would be able to Wi-Fi into it or Bluetooth or whatever. And it feeds into or on the Internet. It would feed into the bus and then it would stream and it would archive and it would platform and you're done. Now it doesn't go away. So that was his concept, and he created and built this, and he'd take it to different festivals, and then he would, you know, microwave in a signal from, you know, the mountains to be able to provide high-speed internet to Pork Fat, which he did this
year,
too.
That's incredible. That's awesome.
No, this ambulance was pimped. Well, then he has that done still, and then he bought one of these buses. On the way from Arizona, from Jackalope, he finds a bus. That's how we wound up getting a bus. He got a bus. You know, and that was sitting on the side of the road for 10 years. It had probably $250,000 into it. That's just sitting there rotten. He paid $5,000 for it. You know, he got it, drove it, made it to Maine, and started pimping it out. So then he does all his stuff in there. Big, giant power of a, you know, get those big generators that powers lights on the side of the road construction at night of, well, I want that generator. So he got like four of those. You know, then one's a solar energy battery power pack and with the motor in it. I mean, this is what he does. He has probably an 18,000-square-foot warehouse, two-story here that used to be an old, you know, butchery paper company that made dipping wood spoons for Dairy Queen of all kinds of crap for the past 100 years that he got and has been refurbing, and now he's doing whatever the hell he wants. He's got 100-watt laser in there and a maker, you know, room upstairs with, you know, a diesel mechanic if I fix my, you know, skid steer. I mean, you know, this is, you know, this is these kinds of people. This is what we are. Jay Noon in Henniker, New Hampshire, when all this stuff started happening, the food and everything, first thing he did, went and bought a bunch of pigs and cows and partnered up with, you know, Bardo Farms, and they started being able to feed the Free State Project back when everybody was kind of wondering what's going to, oh, we know where this is going. It's going to be a food thing. Then I'm there while he's working on the bus, clearing fields to be able to plant stuff, blah, 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 blah. So this is the Liberty community you're coming into. And the thing is that when he did that, that ambulance, I'm going, look, this is what I need in a love bus. I need that kind of AV, do the show, studio, all this stuff with the power to be able to run it on battery for 2 days in case I don't have any hookup and what, you know, that kind of thing. So I could have increased. I could have better, you know, solar panels on top. I got, when I deploy the stuff we have stacked underneath, it's a lot better. But, you know, I probably, if I was to do it again, I probably would not go with the flat ones that were only 100, you know, watt panels. I would get the 400, oh my God, stuff, which I may still do in the future. But the, so he had another ambulance that he saw, they like, because he liked, you know, the aluminum boxes that are on them. He got that one and never kind of got to it. Justin comes up here. All right, I need a brakes done on this. I need 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 this. You do all this. Next couple of weeks, you can have that other ambulance, which he had one, but the engine went out. And that was one thing he liked. He was looking for another ambulance. He gets up here. Boom, there's one. He trades out for it, doing the studio and everything. Boom, he gets an ambulance. So now he's pimping that out. So this is the community that you're in. We're like you, man. We're in. We get it. And it's going to be, as we can travel the country, and we'll send Justin to different places around the country, too, after he gets done doing whatever the hell he's got to do up here. You know, him and his dog will go west and, you know, and have the other communities that need help. And then they learn some more skills. They add to whatever there. Then, you know, autonomy, Richard Grove's autonomy. He's got, you know, a crew. I'm working with Lisa Manfredi. That's kind of admin for this stuff. I go, I need this. I need an animator. That's another thing. You know anybody that does good quality animation? Did you watch the animation for the pirate ship?
I did.
Okay. You got somebody that can do that quality. I want to know who they are. Help me out. And that
guy,
the guy that did that, you know, just doesn't have time. He just did it because he felt like it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going, well, feel like it some more. He goes, man, I got other stuff to do, you know? Well, you know, I'll pay you. Yeah, don't care, you know? So we need quality animation. That's one of the big things. I need, you know, graphic design. You know that Davi is, you know, busy doing other stuff, and I need access to, you know, a quality graphic designer. You know, we have, you know, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about. So we are curating these people and meeting. That's why I'm spending this kind of time with you, so that people know that they have an access to your information, and then what's the negotiation? What do you get out of it? You know, what's my deal? You know, week, 2 month, three, forever, you know, trade. I don't know. It depends. You get there and they like you or they don't. You know, so Justin, you really like him. He's a productive and, oh, you need an ambulance? All right. I'll tell you what. There it is. It's yours. You got to do this and that. And he had to fix the brakes. Took him 2 days to get it to, you know, be able to move it, you know. And then, oh, is it have a title? I don't know. Maybe kind of, how are we going to do? Whatever. Not my problem. You know, they work it out. So the point is this kind of community has enormous amounts of talent that if you have somebody curating that, which is what I'm hoping to do with Autonomy and with Lisa, because I meet people like you all the time. And I'm going, all right, that's why I want to know, what are you bringing with you? How much baggage? You got a 13-year-old kid that likes to ride two-stroke dirt bikes around everybody's house? Do you have, you know, a psychopathic spouse that freaking, are you kidding me? You know, what kind of disabilities do you have? You know, I mean, you know, an appearance and, how pretty your beard is. Well, I don't really give a crap. I don't even know what you look like. Don't care. You know, but, you know, I'm not going to put you on someone that they're going to have to find out all your problems, you know? So it'll be a temporary, voluntary exchange of whatever the hell, and then you get evaluated, and then maybe somebody else wants you, and you get added to the list of resources for us building the community and surviving the man. You know, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's just that, how did you envision this happening?
Yeah, it's pretty much along those lines. I think if someone can come, you know, arrive someplace and perform, you know, there should be some sort of initial communication, because if you look at platforms like Yelp, they do pretty well. You know, Yelp's been a successful platform for, you know, service providing setups, whether it be solar, whether it be plumbers or whatnot. So something that follows some of the same, a similar vein that way within the community, where, you know, have somebody who contracts and comes in. If there's no history, of course, there should probably be more, you know, initial communication. But having a software platform that, you know, allows people to rate the skills and provide their comments, you know, along those, you know, along specific categories. So
Yelp and eBay was our inspiration. I was looking for what kind of ranking works well. Of course, it works, you know, but Yelp and eBay was kind of an inspiration. But I wanted to be able to rank the rankers, you know. Because I want a personal filter to where I can give weight to somebody's opinion, you know, more than somebody else's. Because some people, they say, oh, he's a good guy. Well, shit, man, I'll marry him. I mean, whatever, because he said so, you know. Some of them, they go, oh, yeah, he's the greatest thing. Hell, I wouldn't let him take out my trash, you know, based on that guy's recommendation. So I need to have some way to rank the rankers. Well, Yelp was kind of, as I looked at it, you could see that you had people given their opinion, and you could click on them and go find out what their other, you know, opinions were. And if they're just bitching about everything, they just like to bitch and they're trolls, you know, never mind, I don't give a crap. So what do I give them? What kind of ranking do I give them? So I needed that kind of, and that's how we described it in Scuttlebutt. that somehow, I mean, I'm not giving specifics. I just want to, you know, this is how we're going to evaluate people and out the sociopaths, because they always descend on well-meaning, good people, and they just suck them dry. And I see it. I've been doing this 30 years, and I see it all the time. And that is
same
what
here,
we need.
For sure. That needs to be a sussing point, you know. And there's I think there's a couple of helpful tidbits that move along with that. Like, project completion is a big thing. A client of mine wanted me to make a project management system a while ago. That was one of the last big quotes I did for him. But in there was a thing where you do a time start, time finish. So you have your person proposes an initial estimate, when to start, when to finish, and then you have the timeline of progress. So, for example, let's say it's a 1 week thing. Guy comes in late by a day or whatnot, that'll show up in the system. The guy finishes 2 weeks late, that'll show up in the system. And then there's the additional commentary, right? So things like that act as an indicator for people that are basically, you know, antisocial personalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, the software can be as dynamic as whatever your mind can think of. So as far as rating people, a system where you have, if you're figuring out, let's say, I think generally what you'll find is that if people are in there and they're not social personalities, they're just not going to have stuff done. They're not going to be doing stuff, right? So there can be like an overall work rating or value rating just based on the fact, like, number of incomplete projects, right?
Right.
Does this make sense?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's always that. It's like, especially with software, you know, they come in and, oh, yeah, I can do this and that and everything and pay me more and more and more and more, and it's never done. You know, I'm next. A lot of people, I'm doing projects or doing stuff. You find the right person. I shoulder surf a graphic artist, and it's freaking awesome and better than I thought it could be done, you know, in an hour. It's done. Done.
Yeah.
You know, but I got to be there and do and kind of manage it and not that and kind of back and forth and so on. Well, of course, they want to do whatever the hell it is they want to do, because that's what they do and that's their style. And I need an 18-year-old kid. You know, I need somebody that just doesn't even, you know, has the skills and doesn't even know what to do. I can get it done faster that way, which I have. So
right. You
look at the top of Freedom's Phoenix. At the very top, it'll say up in the blue banner ad up there, go ahead and click on it, and you'll see it says online magazine. When you go in the magazine, you see all the covers, you know, of, I don't know, 40-whatever covers that we had for online magazine. You know, those are done by three or four different people, most of them by a girl that started doing it. It was a homeschooled graphic artist from a friend of mine that lived on a farm, never been in government school in her whole freaking life, in a farm in Bunker, Missouri. You know, and I just...
Very cool.
We go back and forth on it. It was beautiful work, you know, and she learned and developed. She, you know, so how do I find that person? Where's that? You know, what kind of working relationship? How much? And she got paid $200 a cover, which for her was like, woohoo, you know. Somebody else would be going, kiss my ass, you know. So it's whatever you can find. And the thing is that I'm looking for these kinds of apprenticeships. Now, she went on to become a graphic artist for a newspaper, you know, and which was kind of interesting, you know, but her sister also, she did a lot of writing and stuff, you know, and her younger sister. So this is, I'm not looking for somebody's degree. I don't give a crap about that. Hell, a lot of companies now are going, nah, woke people just graduated with your liberal arts of I don't give a crap, need not apply. I mean, you know, them days are over. This is somebody who has competence. And if you got competence in something, there's something Derek Jay always goes on about. You know, I remember him saying, he goes, the opposite of fear is competence. I'm like, whoa, when the heck did those come together? Because if you're confident, if you're competent in something and you're really good at it, then what do you fear in it? I mean, you know, if you're competent in it, it's not a fearful subject. You're not afraid. Hell, you're competent in anything, you're less afraid in general. So it's always about...
Exactly.
So he does man camp. Well, Luke Radowski of We Are Change, a year ago, he finally got out from under freaking Brooklyn lockdown or whatever, came up to New Hampshire, hung out the summer while we were working on the bus and everything for months. He's up there pimping out and buying his truck and getting his fifth wheel RV all done and learning how. He's like, oh, I don't know how to do it. And he'd lay his LED front whatever for his truck there for me to do the bus. Hell no. You do that. Forget your ass under there. I ain't doing it. He'd sit there, and it's probably, you know, 20 minutes. We're arguing over who's going to have it. I ain't doing it. I'll help you, but I ain't doing it. You know, help ain't me doing it. It's you learning how to do it, you know? So he's like, damn it, you know?
Yeah.
Ernie's not falling for it. So then he learned how to weld. He learned how to he and I built a chicken tractor out of a horse trailer. You know, we've done all. So now cool. He's all gunned up, and, man, he's doing, you know, training and, you know, how to rip a head off a chicken to feed a woman. He's gone freaking Man Mountain Mike now, you know? Well, why?
Yeah.
Because he had this apprenticeship with the guys up there. And then he started marketing this stuff. He's doing really well with it. So he became, instead of an example of what the problem was, he became an example of what the solution was. And this is what I'm hoping to see replicated. And it takes people with skills like you, with that kind of teaching mindset, but also these communities need help. They need somebody that's willing to clean a bathroom. You know, like I'm in there now, one guy here staying, trading out different stuff. Well, you know, nobody told me what to do. I'm gonna tell you what to. I don't have to do. I got, you know, bathrooms need to be clean. We're going. Come on, let's go, man. Boom. Showing that to them. Don't you tell me you ain't got nothing to do. You know, my restaurant employees say that, man. I got drains and baseboards need scrumming. I mean, don't tell me there's nothing to do. I get plenty for you to do. Okay. So it's that work ethic. You know, you got to get past this stuff. So this is. What role do you think you'd play in a community like that, and how long, and what are you looking to get out of it, and what can you commit to, and where would you be going, and where do you see yourself winding up a year or two from now?
Well, I am committed, and I see several different roles. I you know, I've got the whole software development side. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at it, but I sent Donna some links with regards to some of the software that I've made in the past, but I've been working on a rapid application development system. It's for developers, but it's also decentralized, encrypted, and allows you to instantly visualize the stuff that you program. So that's one thing. And I want to really help ingrain the whole training and apprenticing systems, right? It's just get this thing moved along. I think what you're talking about as far as recruitment stuff, you know, perhaps not with it, to talk about maybe some of that stuff not within the show, but what are some of the methods? Essentially, it's a skill acquisition. You know, it's the quantity of the quality of people coming in into the system, right? And it's how rapidly can you bring people into it. And, you know, that's maybe perhaps a critical statistic on changing some of this curve that's happening. So creating systems for that, and then helping refine the recruitment strategy. And I can make software that parallels every part of this. None of it's too complicated.
All right, let me give you an example. Richard Grove, Tragedy and Hope. Are you familiar with him?
I'm sorry, what was his name?
Richard Grove, tragedyandhope.com. Pull it up. Tragedyandhope.com.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I've got my internet disconnected at the moment.
Okay, well, that's fine. He is, I don't know, once you find him, you know, he's, you know who James Corbett is?
Yeah, definitely.
So he's kind of like a James Corbett, but with a lot wider interest of how he archives information. You know, he's part of the crowd. I've known him for years. Well, he's a young man that, you know, worked on Wall Street and corruption of 9/11 finances. If he outed and went to court, these scumbags are being, oh, that's not a bug, that's a feature. Shut up, boy, go away. So he wants to know the real, you know, the real world, you know, the truth of things. So, of course, you know, he comes across they, them, those of, oh, my God. Well, when he did that, all of a sudden he starts archiving all this information, kind of like Freedom's Phoenix, but it's called the thing TNH Brain, which is all the connections between different people and so on. And I used to give them crap all the time going, yeah, okay, now what? Yeah, I know the whole freaking history of, yeah, now what? And the lineage of everybody, now what? Now what, now what, now what, now what? Well, I was still important that he got all this information to wake people up. Well, then he started a program called Autonomy. And what it was is kind of a community-building, self-help community online of get your mind right. And the way they do it now, he's been through like six classes of this, and whenever he goes somewhere, he went to Pork Fest, 70 of his graduates went to Pork Fest just to hang out and finally meet people and be part of the event there. They go to Red Pill in Connecticut. There's another like 50, 70 people go. So, and he's a young man. I mean, I don't even know if he's 40 yet. And his wife, and he has a young child. Donna and I really encouraged him to start having children. Oh, the world, no. That's why you do it. You breed them out, okay? You fix the next generation because they're yours. But the so what happened is he started this thing called Autonomy. The way it works now is it's free for the five-hour boot camp. You have to go through this boot camp of listening to Richard Grove for 5 hours, just to, you know, all the stuff that he goes on about and done. After that, then you're allowed to apply and pay thousands of dollars to take the class. That's 12 weeks. That's part of a community, yeah. And they do it. So it's like out of value, but there are people, you know, that have a lot of skills, such as yourself. You're not a kid, you know, that gets your grandpa to pay for something. You can actually add some value to it that then, you know, there's some trade-out negotiation of whatever. So, but what happens is this community that comes out, they're going into their sixth class. It's like a 12-week thing, so every 3 months. They've been doing it for a year and a half or so. And these people are quite all 70 of them. I mean, it was like because they went through that boot camp. They went through that. They're interviewing each other. They're going through life skills, sales, what their tasks are. Then Lisa Manfredi, a woman that very capable, sold expensive lab equipment to big labs of whatever and just not happy with her life in that late 30s, early 40s. She's about your age. And, you know, she's attractive. She's smart. And she just wasn't satisfied. This is not the truth of things or what. So she goes through this, makes all these contacts, and now she sees the need. What Richard lacked was just time, you know, needed an administrator, somebody to go through. So they do pre-interview. She pre-interviews, you know, somebody, probably not for you, or we charge you double or something. I mean, whatever the hell they do. And then you go through this five-hour thing, and then you go through the class, boom, you're in. Well, this is what the deal that I'm making with them, because I've been screaming with Richard for years. I've known him since, 2009 or something. And I go, you get these people ready to do like a Mott and J-Rock. Well, hell, I got work. I'm here with money, man. Show me something. Just exactly what Justin Olsen just did in the last few days of rebuilding the studio. That's what I need. Well, we were at Jackalope. Porkfest, Forkfest. They came and looked on the bus. Said, this is what I need. A couple of guys that looked at it and go, okay. But we're not going to be able to do it here because this is going to take a while. So while we're up here, you know, he comes in, he redoes it. We're testing with you. Cool. Way better. Rock and roll, whatnot. So these are the people in the pool from which we would pull to do what you're talking about, to be in the communities. Okay, here's a guy with these skills. He's gone through this training. There, you know, he has part of the community. Let's go ahead and check him out. And what we did is we had Justin come up here. He'll stop by Jay's or whatever. We already really like him, and we're going, okay. You know, we have some other places around the country that need someone like you. You know, we got a job for you. Let's get your ass out there. Okay, let me finish my ambulance and get it kind of set up for me and my dog. Boom, and they're off. So this is where you come in. So we haven't sourced you. You got sourced from listening to the show or being on Declare Your Independence Telegram or whatever talk, and some people go, hey, do you know this guy, man? He seems pretty cool. You know, he's checking off all the FBI PSYOP boxes if we're interested. Okay? So, you know, so I keep bringing that up because that's how it happens, man. I've been through this before, but I don't care. I'm going, yeah, whatever. You know, they got to keep changing the agents on me because they keep getting convinced every couple of weeks. You know? So they go, I'm on the wrong side. Yes, you are. Okay? So this is why we're talking to you, plus to test the, you know, system. And while we're talking to you, because I wanted to be able to, you know, introduce you to us and our mindset and what we're working on and the need for it. This is going to get worse. This is just the beginning. This was just a, you know, a signal flare of what's coming. And James's most recent article, we had it on top of the site yesterday for, you know, held most of the day. I'm like, here's what's next. So we'll talk tonight, and this will be an interesting part of the conversation. But so that's where my mind is. So what are you – you don't care where you are. It changes. You just kind of get
– I do. I definitely do. State qualifications basically follow the same qualifications for states and gun laws.
Right.
So there's a map. There's actually a website. I forgot the name of it, but it keeps track of all the states that basically, you know, it's not Second Amendment sanctuary. I don't think it's the right way, right wording, but just people that follow the Second Amendment. So those states, and then particularly, you know, heavily focused on the states that are qualified or areas that are qualified by strategic relocation. Because this is long-term stuff. So, for example, I want to use some of my resources to build out some of the geopolymer stuff. So that structure needs to stay there, right?
Right.
As long as possible.
Well, yeah, no, I'm looking for land. Arizona, you know, some counties that you get a permit to not have to get any more permits, whatever the hell that's about. But the I'm out in the middle of the desert in Maricopa within an hour from my grandkids, and I'll just be left alone. I'm good. Can I be left alone?
Yeah.
No, well, you got to. Oh, okay. Now I got to get involved in politics. Now I got to go whip some ass. Now we had, and across the country, of course, they're going after you, and doing it in Arizona was a mistake. They were going after gun rights and so on there. So we did SAFE. Second Amendment is for everyone. Are you a safe gun owner? Are you an unsafe congressman? I mean, we have all kinds of fun with that. You know, safegunowners.org. You can go and it goes to our special edition. But the point is we made it an issue in every election. So while they're trying to turn Arizona into a purple-blue, whatever the hell they're doing with election fraud, we were there understanding that guns and weed, man, guns and weed. Everybody else go, oh, don't do that. Nobody will like you. You're confusing me with somebody that gives a crap. Guns and weed, guns and weed. And it was just about, I don't, you know, I own myself, and I can protect myself, or should be, and you guys can suck it. Plus, you know, we had a bunch of lawsuits. I mean, I've been a real jerk on the Second Amendment thing as a principle. And as we did that, over time, it became a campaign issue that no matter how gunny you were, you definitely better get your picture taken shooting an AR-15 or something, or you're not getting elected. Well, then they kind of just took over election fraud.
That's pretty awesome.
They don't care. But
take it that far.
Well, that's how rights got liberated in Arizona, from us hammering the living shit out of it since 94. And then when they passed it and they call it constitutional carry, I go, you're not allowed to call it constitutional carry on my show. Well, why? Everybody can carry open concealed. I go, yeah, but in there to get it passed, you know, through law enforcement for them not to freak out was that anytime you come in contact with law enforcement, you have to let them know that you're carrying. And I go, what's constitutional about that? That's why I'm carrying it. You know, screw you, man. So you can call it whatever or shall issue or something, but don't sit there and tell me it's constitutional because that ain't constitutional. So, you know,
Exactly.
Yeah, I just keep hammering on that kind of stuff. So that's my experience, has been making these freedom issues just fundamental principle, first principle, what needs to be done, why kind of thing, and the rest will just follow.
I think a good phrase for that is like, it's like the freedom vertical, right? You know, like For me, this has been like my, you know, I did an evaluation of what I consider to be needed, right? And the second part is I need apprenticing, right? So I've been looking at these various communities where there's communities that never fell out of the constitutional orientation. There's this one guy, I'm not good with names, but there's this one guy that his community has always been this way. And he shows it like, in his YouTube videos, that they've been doing training as far as, you know, keeping Antifa out, their ham radio setups. Everyone in that town or small city has a function. They're together. it never was separate. It never came to this point where people would disabused of, you know, knowing their neighbors and whatnot, right? So the community's together. So what part of what I'd like to do is find myself in a place like that to really learn and see, you know, because part of what this is it's a reversal of the disassociation, right? You know, it's like, what are we seeking to do? We're seeking to be, you know, bring together people that want the communication, that want the community, that and the opposite side of the spectrum is people that want things taken care of for them, right? So it's really a sort of a battle, from how I see it, is a battle between those two viewpoints.
Now,
they've
been
freedom vertical.
They've been convinced that they can get somebody to do it for them, and that's not true, and that's not what they're going to experience. You know, they just think, well, somebody's just going to
I'm sorry, it's cutting out a little bit.
Somebody's just going to give me universal basic, give me something, and they think that's going to work. It's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's these two competing viewpoints, and it's like these verticals with when I say vertical with the community, the freedom vertical, it's like I've been to Finland, and I've been in some small towns in Finland, and they have, you know, they had the Russian war, not, you know, the winter war with Russia not too many years ago. So that's still pretty fresh in their minds as to how the community needs to come together. And there's certain areas, towns, cities where people have never really lost this freedom vertical. Take care of your neighbors, always keep an eye out, you know, have your systems arranged. It's possible that your government at some point might come to take away your rights. Be ready for that, you know, and I really would like to fully immerse myself into an area that has that already so I can understand it better and then bring that out even more, right, to other areas. It would be fantastic.
Well, to what purpose? I mean, why would you want to do that? To bring it out, to what end?
You know,
to serve
you?
How does it
you know,
serve
you? Know,
you?
So apprenticing, you know, you always got to, the knowledge always comes first, right? You got to understand what the actions are, and then you can do them, right? And you practice it, and you get better at it. So if I can see a community that's really got it down, you know, they're fully ready. They have their food stores. They have their communication networks. You know, without those, you know, like let's say, for example, you're missing one element. I'll bring in strategic relocation. You're too close to a populated area. And when the food shortages start happening, they start bleeding out in your zone. And let's say you don't have security taken care of, you know, let's say the Second Amendment has been hammered out. They've got everything else. They've got food. They've got power, you know, their power sources are set up, but they're not set up with regards to the Second Amendment, and that part of the vertical is missing. You know, they'll be for it at that point because people are going to come in and have their own guns, and they're going to be desperate. So it's kind of like, you know, that the full-fledged system. So then if I understand that in its full spectrum, then I can bring that out in its full spectrum, right? Wherever I go. So if I see certain things are missing, or I know this, you know, this people ask me to come to this area and they say, oh, this is missing. I guess it's a little bit like an assessment type skill is what I'm looking to kind of complete in my repertoire.
Well, as what? Learning something or being able to be recognized as a teacher?
I'm sorry?
By learning something or being recognized as the teacher of something. When you're talking about apprenticeships all the time, bringing you want to be professor
or
a student?
Learn and implement. Learn and implement. It's a little bit of a similar viewpoint to what you're talking about because, you know, let's say you're in a community and they're doing all the right things, you know, you get there. But let's say, for example, they're weak on the Second Amendment. Like I said, I think that's a real big thing, you know, and then helping them to understand that and then helping them making sure that they learn how to arm themselves, that type of thing.
You know, this is, you know, a lot of this stuff we have, it's called Gun Church. And it's done in Manchester every other weekend that they have different training. You know, that you go in and they do shooting and, you know, different drills and so on. And, of course, you know, they go, oh, my God, they're like training, you know. And at first it was kind of they were going along the line of we need to, you know, train and we'll go practice and open up the parks and let parents take their kids and we'll defend. I go, no. You're just begging for trouble. You need to train the parents, and they can defend their own damn kids. I mean, you know, this needs to be a cultural thing. This needs to be an individual thing. You know, you start thinking collectively, then they collectively want to go after the collective. I mean, you know, quit thinking that way. You know, that's not how to do it. Well, they kind of went that, you know, that road, and just, you know, individuals getting training, and then what you do with it is your thing. I mean, it's not my problem. I didn't make you do it. So this is just a mindset, this decentralized down to the individual mindset and the rights to be able to learn this First Amendment thing, and to protect that is the Second Amendment. So this is, we're getting fundamental. This is getting revolutionary 1772 kind of crap. You know, I can see it. These discussions have already happened. You know, this has already been discussed. This has already been, and the only thing that I think a lot of people around the world, and they were counting on our just capitulation, but what they didn't anticipate is that, you know, the states would rise up and not be this just, you know, president fill in the blank rules us. It's a state thing. Then it gets down to county and a municipality thing and an individual thing. This individualism is what is the big threat to them. And when the Ron Paul Evolution came out, I remember Ron making a big deal out of, you know, we need to understand that our heritage, the history of even these words. I mean, that's what Orwell was all about, is just, you know, if you can't have the vocabulary to even express these ideas, they just go away because you can't even imagine them. You know, so I can see what's happening. So we need to manifest this in living as an example. We need to do it. We need to manifest and exactly. Just ignore the bad guys. You know, I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to fix the government. There's no fixing the government. I don't care. You know, let's go vote harder. I mean, you know, my logos is like, you're still voting with the V for Vendetta is the V. I'm like, you know, that's how I ran for Secretary of State in 06. That's where the Levolution logo came from. You know, I'm going, look, man, I already see where this is going. It's just when everybody else does, and I'm always 5-10 years ahead. So now we're at the point to where, you know, it's within a year or two, next week, and this COVID thing, you could see it. We decided to hit the road with the love bus because I could see what was coming. I knew it was going to be a financial thing and that they're going to come up with some excuse to print a boat ton of money. Well, they did, and they got it, and here it comes, along with a bunch of other stuff. So I'm going, well, that was neon and freaking told you so. So now what? I'm tired, you know, of screaming. I'm not worried about it anymore. It's not how many people I can convince. If you're not convinced now, you're just, you know, too stupid to be trying to save you. So I'm going, you know, I have compassion for them, and I worry about it. I hope they do well, but I'm not wasting my time trying to convince somebody that there is no amount of information that would convince them. It's those that are convinced already that we need to do something and inspire them with something to do. And there is no revolution that I ever known of that didn't have a whole bunch of signs. So we're out doing signs. So this is, you know, why I do this is to find and attract and encourage people like you. And I'm just, you know, before we end this, I wanted you to go ahead and just kind of give, you know, kind of where your mindset is, what timeline you have, you know, what you're willing to do, where you're going, what are you looking at, how sensitive you are to cold and hot weather, you know, what your capabilities are, how many cats you got to bring with you. I mean, you know, whatever. Go.
Yeah, I you know what? I've been out here. I normally don't do too well in hot, but I've acclimated to it. So sometimes my RV has been getting up to 105 because I don't always like running the air conditioner, but I do sometimes. I do great in cold, particularly cold, because, you know, I'm mostly kind of my ethnic background is Finnish. And I think on an immediate basis, one of the things that I would like to accomplish, and when I say immediate, I say within the next 2 months, I want to have some structures built for food. I think that there's this period of time that's coming up here really shortly where people's patience is going to be really tried. And people are going to start going hungry. and having a few great examples of how you can produce a tremendous amount of nutrients out of a small area that's totally organic with filtered air and water, I think can just be phenomenal. And it's not just the part of doing itself, of building the structures, but the inspiration that it can provide, because it's inexpensive, it's so cheap. And then, the second thing, I'd say within the next 5 months, I want to do a little driving around and see what some of these communities are about. You know, go there, see what help I can provide. And like you say, you know, I'll do pretty much anything. I have no problem with doing any kind of work. I'll shovel shit, whatever it might be.
So how's your health? Are you good?
Pretty awesome.
Okay. I mean, what about,
I can work from wake to sleep doing physical labor without an issue.
Very cool.
You know, I got to eat in there, right? I'm a big guy, so, you know, I'm over 6 feet.
Well, it sounds like, we'd like to get to meet you, and, you know, there's opportunities, and we'll go ahead and forward this to people, and, you know, it'd be interesting to see you put all of your things to practice, but, you know, it's what a lot of people have your skills. The first thing they want to do, well, you know, give me a time, you know, I need, and I'll do what I want to do. I've got, yeah, well, get out there and plow first. You know, show me you can frame a freaking wall, you know, work with the guys pouring concrete, do some manual labor of work and see if you show up on freaking time. You know, this is, how I operated with, when I hired people at my restaurant. They would do, there's a lot of testing, you take all kinds of crap software. I go, you know, let me tell you how this works. You know what works for me? You know, then you got to go through the training, you're wasting time. I go, you know what? I just tell you how it works. You want to work? You came in for a job? You know, pace. You know, we're going to find out in 3 days. And I would schedule them from 6 to 8 o'clock, 3 days in a row in the evening, because that was during the dinner rush, and at least I would, you know, get production out of them washing freaking dishes, okay?
That's an awesome way to find out about people.
For decades I did this. Awesome. So I didn't lose manpower. I mean, you know, I'm paying them, you know, whatever decent, I start them off at decent, you know, making some money. And I go, all right, you sit there. Here's to show you how to do it. Here's how you put the sanitizer in. This is a soap. You've got a three compartment. Here's the automatic dishwasher, big stainless steel arm thing of whatever. And I go, rock and roll. All you got to do is do this and that. Make sure all dishes get done in some pace. Now, if they're off screwing around and hitting on, you know, the girls or the guys or wasting time or bitching about whatever or sitting, you know, going out for a smoke break every 30 seconds and, you know, dab, never mind. You know, then do they show up the next day? You know, did they take a bath the next day? The third day, are they on time? I would even get them their shoes, because you have to have the right kind of shoes. I get your shoes, we'll take it out of whatever. It's worth it to me. After 3 days, then, okay, I'll put you on the schedule a little bit, we'll see. You know, kind of a little something. Well, I need more hours. Yeah, well, you need to work harder. You know, you need to be better. Did I tell you? After 3 days, you and I are going to find out if we like each other or not, if this is for you. No muss, no fuss. I didn't. I think I fired in 20 years or more, 20 whatever years of restaurant management, I think, and ownership, I think I probably fired maybe 5-6 people in 20 years because I made it very clear what it is I was looking for. Either you're willing to do it or you're not. And good people like working with good people. If somebody was bad, all the good people knew, oh, this guy won't be here that long. And it wouldn't, you know, because if you have bad people standing around and they run it, all the good people leave. You know, I have people that stay with me for years, you know. And it's so that's how I deal with this. I go, you need to be in position to actually work and see if you can wash freaking dishes for 2 hours a day for a few days. That's it. You know, so you come in the community, you do whatever for a week or two and kind of, you know, well, I want, we don't want, so we're all done and it's good. Peace. You know, but if you're great work ethic, you're good character, you know, you're, you know, kind of, you know, whatever, we're done. You know, you write your ticket, you know, and you're wanted other places. And once these people start feeding each other capability, and then it's seasonal. In Arizona, you know, it's wintertime. In the summertime, screw that, man. I'm up in New Hampshire or Washington, Northern Idaho, whatever. Yeah. So that, yeah. I can see that. No, that's not a problem with me. I'm chasing 78-degree sleeping weather anyway.
Yeah.
So
totally.
So this is the reason, yeah. You know, I keep doing this, you know, your infiltrator from the man, is because you're way too perfect, okay? This is just, right.
Wait, oh, way too perfect. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting? If you look at some of my earliest messages on Telegram, I said, this is the closest vertical to everything that I'm looking for in one place, because you also involve the technology side. I mean, there's plenty of communities that are out there that are doing the food thing, the intentional communities, but not the full spectrum, not the full spectrum. Like, you're super unique. The spectrum at which you cover, like, you're out there doing the political stuff. You're aware of the cultural climate, right? And it's like, to me, this big thing that I see coming up is there's this curve that's going to hit when the food starts being a problem. It's going to kind of head down to the point, you know, at first people, you know, they get a bit scared, but then they have an immediate necessity to come up with a solution. But then after a bit, when it's too hard, they're at a loss. It's a lot harder. It's a much more difficult entry point than the point when they're at the point of need. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it's so going to take me. I need to do some CAD. I need to learn how to do a little bit more on the, you know, I know a little bit, but I dabble in a whole bunch of stuff. I got, you know, ghost gunners. I make, you know, from 80% lower kind of deal. I did that. And then I give one to my son and another one I had, you know, to, Derek. And then I do, a little laser this, a little 2D, you know, Inkscape that, a little that, but I'm not the guy. You know, people go, you know, I sit there, I got a learning curve of 20 to 40 hours to be good at any one of these things. You know, but I got, yeah. I got other crap to do. I'm doing this. But the point is that I do understand the importance of it. And that's why we did Pirates Without Borders. And you can see, as you go to the categories, you know, I'm looking at, like in the one, Build the Ship. You know, there's you know, material sciences has changed in just the last few years that make it possible. You know, I'm building, you know, carbon nanotube nickel iron batteries in my freaking, you know, barn I had. You know, I'm gonna.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Oh, you have no idea. You know, crap, I'm gonna make you see my lab. All right. Well, you don't have your internet, but you go to
I'll write it down. I'll take a note here.
Yeah, it's just do Battery Project Freedom's Phoenix, or probably send up that category.
Got it. I'll be able to find it. Yeah.
The biggest problem that I came in, and we had a cover, one of the magazines was kind of my lab, and then I did, it's called Original Discovery, you know, publisher's back page, Original Discovery, because I'd always be in the back of the publication and I'd, you know, advocate something. And
it's breaking up a little bit.
My thing was, is that when we did, ordering of even the test tubes to make the catalyst I needed for in the vapor disposition of the carbon. I used acetylene in an argon and helium field. I used acetylene at about 800 degrees Celsius. It starts to break the bond between the hydrogen and the carbon. So you vent the hydrogen and the carbon, you know, if you got the right catalyst, it would start to assemble on kiln posts and be like this black velvet. Well, then I would, you know, use a rectifier and plate that with nickel, and then I got, you know, acres of, you know, surface area for nickel iron battery instead of just a plate of nickel. That was the whole point. I mean, it was not that hard, right? So I go, you know, we'll do that. Well, it cost me like $8,000 in equipment, but I needed, you know, just some flask and distillers and beakers and test tubes and simple crap just to, you know, start off with the catalyst. And I couldn't get it. And the reason was because the DEA, whenever they would raid somebody, a meth lab or something, they'd find out where they got their stuff, and then they want all the paperwork of somebody that supplied it. And if you didn't have a commercial address, they wouldn't sell it to you. So I'm bitching. I go, I can't even start this project because I can't buy glass. What the F is going on here? So what happened is one of the listeners said, here's a homeschool group that they can buy all their science equipment from this one place, and they'll deliver anywhere. Boom, that's how I got it. Then I started getting some of my raw chemicals and elements from Russia and Ukraine. You know, I'm going, this is jacked up. What I learned mostly about the whole thing of tinkering in your garage deal, of in the cover for the article, I mean, for that magazine edition that we had, it was, you know, we always had, anyway, you'll see it. And in the background of a woman, you know, that's always a woman, you never see her face. She's, you know, representative or a Freemus Phoenix, does whatever. But she's in this modern lab, you know, that was a depiction of mine. And then a poster behind her was Norman Rockwell did one for the Saturday Evening Post back in October of 29. That was a duplicate, almost, you know, same version of Yankee get to your workbench kind of thing. And this was the point that he was making, you know, almost 100 years ago. It's like, look, man, you know, this, you don't need a government grant. I mean, this is Eisenhower. We got to worry about a technological scientific elite taking over everything. And I could see what it was. They were trying to doing carbon nanotube body armor, and they were trying to patent carbon. And I go, hell no. Watch this. So I did it just to say, yeah, I did it. Now what are you going to do? You know, that. So this is, and they go, Ernie, aren't you going to build it? I go, I don't want to build them. I want to buy them. I'm not here to, you know, freaking make carbon nanotube batteries. I just wanted to prove you could do it. You know, so this is, you know, I still have my equipment. I'd really like to get it. And the reason that I didn't build, you know, start to produce the cells, because it used potassium hydroxide as the base electrolyte instead of an acid. It's a base, you know, chemistry. And it was nickel iron batteries, you know, Edison batteries. But I knew they were robust and they didn't sulfate up and all this kind of stuff. But if I did carbon, you know, it'd have a lot more density and charge and discharge faster. Because a friend of mine had just went to nickel iron batteries. And I go,
audio's cutting out in and out a little bit.
Yeah, well, we'll wrap it up here, you know, because I
okay.
wanted to, you know, what are we looking at? Yeah, see, I got 5 more minutes and it hits 2 hours, and then I don't have to edit somebody else in. Oh, so that's why I'm yakking here. I just want to get it to 2 hours.
Yeah.
But the thing is that going through this process wasn't necessarily that I wanted to produce it. And the problem was, is that when I do 3D printing was just starting to become a thing then. Well, 3D printing and PLA, the potassium hydroxide would just melt PLA. Well, then you find out we go ABS. Then I got to learn CAD to be able to make the cells to put these in, because I had ABS drain pipe that I used. So they were round cylinder batteries that we did. Well, you know, if I could ABS into a, I wanted to make a 12 volt car battery. That was the point. But by the time I got the 3D printer and I started learning that, they were starting to do it. All of a sudden, the chemistry and graphene was becoming a thing to buy. I go, okay, cool. Boom. Now I can just buy them. That was my intent to begin with. And I didn't want them patenting, you know, some carbon thing that only the military, and it's some scientific of they had it. They had rhino hide. I met them at some gun show, and I said, get your ass on my show. And it was really easy for me to figure out what they were doing. They're full of shit. And I go, nope. I already see what you're doing. I already did it. No. Okay? So this is what you're talking about, and the mindset that you have. We have, on Freedom's Phoenix, and my friends for the past 30 years have been down this road, you know, from the beginning. And what we want to do is to make sure that, you know, people that we meet like you that have this mindset and ability to do this stuff and inspire and participate and educate and apprenticeship others, and you're willing to be apprentice, and you learn something too, and you have the capability to do that at your and being mobile. You know, way too many boxes get checked off for me not to think you're a fit. That's just the way it is.
Understood.
So this is what we're going to go through, you know, all this process, and you'll be getting contacted, and we see what we can. When could you be, you know, halfway across the country? When are you free to travel?
Just under 2 weeks.
Cool. All right.
I just got to sell a motorcycle, maybe a couple of other things, and then I'm good to go.
All right. Well, that's what we'll plan on. You know, this has been, you know, really interesting. I apologize for, you know, hogging up so much time, but we did get to it's 2 hours. I mean, you know, a lot of interviews, hell, you're lucky you get 20 minutes, but, you know.
No, it's quite all right. It's a pleasure for me to be on here, man. It really is.
And you got, you know, enough time to express yourself and be, you know, whatever. And I wanted to make sure that we have a, an understanding of what we're looking for, and it's not any one place. This is planetary. And if we can demonstrate the effectiveness of them, we don't need a permission slip, and we just do it. And, I mean, you know, if they, you're not allowed to learn that or something, I don't know what the hell they're going to say. But this is going to be, you know, a good experiment for everybody because it's now. And then we're going to be talking about tonight with Corbett. You know, this is kind of where he and I have been going on this thing. And we're going to be pushing Black Market Fridays, which is every Friday. You know, you're using crypto or, you know, something, alternative vendor, a buy cod, he likes to say. We're going to buy. Hey, thanks for you spending this extra time, you know, for me, with me, because I wanted to make sure that, you know, this is a important task that we're on, and you could be a really good example of this. So we're looking forward to working with you. It's been great. Modern J-Rock. Go look him up on the internet, and we got a bunch of his stuff on today's archive. You'll learn all about him. Thanks a lot, Martin. Is there some website you want to give out?
Thanks for having me on, Ernie.
Is there a website you want to give out?
No, that's quite, yeah.
All right, we're good.
People can find me through the name you gave earlier and through the Telegram chat, whatnot.
Declare your independence with Ernest Hancock Telegram Group. And then you'll find out what an ad Motton J-Rock is. Peace, guys.